Copen in Copenhagen. This is a podcast about hanging out in Copenhagen.
After the races. Hello and welcome to The Sick Show, Copy in Copenhagen on 97.7 FM. My name is Owen and of course I'm with Marius.
Hello, hello, sir.
This is your guide to modern living in the city of Copenhagen.
Yep.
And Denmark.
And also Denmark, yeah.
And we're leaving it there today.
Yeah.
That's as far as we're going.
No other countries will be mentioned.
Marius.
Yeah.
Do me a favor. Do me a kindness. Can you tell me what's coming on the show?
Of course.
Thank you.
We will start with the classic news roundup.
Nice.
I have three stories for you there. Little. There's a bridge. There's some bridge news.
Bridge news.
I'm very excited. I'm very excited.
Sorry. We should get over that.
Let's cross that bridge when we get there. Hey. We're gonna talk about sex zone in Denmark.
Okay.
We'll have a little look at sex education.
Sex ed.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to learn about the birds and bees today.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I wasn't prepared for that, but I hope you are.
I'll tell you how I learned about the birds and the bees. Then we've got some hot tips, and that's the show.
Sounds like a good one. Let's get into it.
Yes.
Marius.
Yeah.
Tell me what's happening in the world.
Well, The Øresund Bridge, the one connecting us to our brother, sister country, Sweden.
Yeah.
On July 1st, 2000, that's when it was born.
Right.
Yeah, the bridge.
Right.
A bridge is born. Sounds like a film title. A bridge is born, or a book, maybe more a book.
More a book.
Yeah. Well, yes. The Øresund Bridge was inaugurated, and it's now celebrating its 20th anniversary this year. And to celebrate this Danish wonder.
Yeah.
Danish-Swedish wonder, let's say.
Another book.
Yeah, Danish-Swedish wonders. They had a concert.
Oh.
And they had the Danish pop and soul singer Lucas Graham. He performed a live concert atop of one of the pylons.
Really?
Yeah, and these pylons are like 203 meters tall.
Yeah.
They put him up there with his little band, and he gave a 20-minute concert. There's a video of this online, and he's not. I'm not a big proponent of Danish music. Well, I'm not against Danish music, right, but I'm not promoting it quite often. But Lucas Graham is, if you'd like a bit of sweet soul pop, mm-hmm, he's good.
He's the one to go for?
He's good. He's got a great voice. Born and raised in Christiania.
Uh-huh. Really?
So he's a bit of a rascal, but but cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
He has some good tracks. So if you search for Lucas Graham, Øresund, there'll be a video.
Yeah.
It's pretty beautiful. Sort of they have some good drone footage.
That's a hell of an idea.
Yeah.
Stick someone on top of a pylon.
I don't think I looked a bit at the video and it didn't look pleasant for them.
No, I would say it's very windy.
Yeah.
Scary, probably.
Scary, yeah, yeah.
Sound quality is probably not the best.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder how he could hear. Yeah. He did have these in sort of, what are they called? Monitor kind of head?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, something, but yeah.
So it's probably one of those things where you agree to,
yeah,
because
yeah,
it sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you find yourself
atop of this pylon, and you're like,
with no audience,
yeah,
just a drone.
But the other audience were the only audience were on sort of the opposite pylon.
Jesus Christ!
Yes,
really?
Yeah, it was very corona safe, though.
It certainly was. Distance, yes, was a preference.
Yeah. So 20 years in the main game, and if you remember, some time ago, I did another bridge news,
yes,
because they're painting this bridge.
Yeah.
And that takes about 13 years to paint it.
Yeah.
So that's just an ongoing process, which I find interesting. Never ending job. So congratulations to Øresundsbroen. 20 years.
Well done.
Copenhagen Post.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to any listeners from, if you clicked on that link.
Good day.
Good day to you. Or good evening if you're listening to this in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. They brought an article about how foreign students want to stay in Denmark. A survey that the Copenhagen School of Design and Technology conducted shows that 43% wants to continue living in Denmark. 64% aim to work in the country, and only 3% plan to return home. And I found this interesting because to me this kind of kills the myth, or not maybe not kills it, but sort of there is this kind of myth that students just come here because they can get SU.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the student money.
Yeah.
So they're kind of like, yeah, they've been called SU riders or freeloaders. But this kind of kills that myth to some extent. And the survey also showed that the motivation is sort of 70% said sort of education was why they came here.
Mm-hmm.
46% said career opportunities, and 42% said Danish society and culture, while only 30% mentioned SU. So,
but here's the thing. Do you think they have it in their mind that they're being interviewed and they're like,
probably shouldn't mention,
don't mention the money.
That might have played a
that
factor.
That makes it sound like I'm only here for the money and I'm not gonna. But there's this other idea of like that people just like come and go, right? They like come in, get their education, get the money, and then they just fuck off. Right?
Yeah.
A bit of a brain drain.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's what, 43% want to stay?
Yeah, 43% wants to continue living in Denmark. I think that's quite high. I was quite surprised about
that. And
then
you said 60...
64 aim to work in the country.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah, that doesn't...
The math doesn't work. And then 3% left over.
I didn't make the math, Alan. I'm just reading the numbers, okay?
But no, that's it. Yeah, there's 110%.
Yeah.
110% of students.
What about the other one? Yeah, but it doesn't work. I don't know, but I think it's within that question, out of 100%...
Of the 43%.
For just that question, yeah. 43% said yes to wanting to continue living in Denmark.
And 64% of the 43% want to work.
No. I think it's for that question. So let's say they asked 100 people.
Yeah.
Do you plan on continuing living in Denmark?
Yeah? Show me working! Sorry, I'm doing Family Feud.
43% out of that 100, let's say, said yes to that question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then they asked another question. So 64%.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's not... Yeah.
Wait, so 43... Do you want to live here? 43% said
yes. Let's not do math on this show, okay? We've proven many times that none of us are...
This is important to understand. 43%. No, you settle down. I don't roll your eyes. We're getting into this. 43% said... Live.
Then said live.
Said I said yes to life.
Yes.
Right?
In Denmark, yeah.
Then they were continued to be asked, would you work in Denmark? A percentage of them said, no, but I want to live here.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
And then 3 said, fuck no.
Yeah. Fuck no. God no.
Absolutely not.
I don't. Yeah, I think it's sort of per individual question.
But then, why would you ask a question? Do you want to live here? Yes. Do you want to work here? Some of them said yes.
Well, people can live here without working. Maybe they've got a wife that makes a lot of money, or
a wealthy relative who died, or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Something like that. Yeah.
True. As long as they pay their taxes. I mean.
Yeah, I'm all for it. You don't need to work here to stay. Just have a good time with us. Yeah. So them the numbers.
Nice.
Oh God. There's more percentages in the next one.
Oh great.
Noisy Parks. Also sounds like a book title.
No, this is
also,
this is
or
great.
A band. Yeah.
No, actually, yeah, a band.
Noisy Parks.
A band that got its name from a book.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Denmark has seen a 74% increase in the number of noise complaints from disgruntled neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And this is due to bars, I think, closing at midnight, and there's no nightclubs for young people to, you know, go to and get...
Trip the Light Electric?
Exactly.
Have you not heard of it?
No.
Trip the Light Electric?
Trip the Light Electric.
To dance. Trip the Light Electric.
Show me the dance.
It's any dance.
It's just any dance?
It's a reference to dancing.
Trip the Light Electric.
Yeah, Trip the Light Electric. Continue.
Okay. So, because bars are closing at midnight and there's no nightclubs, young people have taken to the parks, you know, to party. And in this day and age where there's these large sound systems, portable sound systems, you can cause quite the ruckus.
Trip to Light, fantastic, is to dance.
Okay. Thank you, Owen.
There you are.
Trip to Light, fantastic.
Yes.
And it's just any kind of dance. Any kind of music.
Dance in a particular, in particular to engage in ballroom dancing.
Oh, ballroom dancing.
Yeah. Mm. Which is not in reference to noisy parks.
No. Yeah. That would be amazing. That would be amazing.
Yeah. I mean, like proper, you wake up and there's like ballroom dancing going on in the parks.
Yeah. I might not complain then. Well, it's been so bad that even the mayor of Copenhagen, Frank Jensen, has taken to Facebook and written a stern complaint to young people.
Okay, okay.
But it's not only noise complaints, and there has been. I myself was awoken a quarter to four, I believe it was, by some very loud, like loud hard style. You know, this kind of awful techno, just like.
Yeah.
You know, just that was unpleasant.
Where, just like out in the street or something?
Yeah, like it, but it literally sounded like they were standing on my balcony. It was fucking, it was intense. My guess is it's also extra bad now because there's all these students driving around their trucks.
Respect to them. Is it just once they rent a truck or do they do it for a few days?
No, it's normally just once. Okay. One day you do the truck thing, but
there's like 4 days of it, 5 days of it.
Yeah, but then you know there's not that many trucks, so they have to spread it out.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Okay.
And schools end on different days and stuff like that.
Ah, okay.
So, but yeah, it's like pretty much the whole month of June. Mm. But not only noise complaints is an issue, because rubbish is also an issue.
Uh-huh.
Because this gets my back up more than the noise, actually.
Yeah.
Because Danes, I think we are too reliant, or we're just used to sort of, we can go trash the fucking streets and then the street sweepers will come and clear it, and then the next day it's all gone.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But that might all change now.
Oh?
Yes, because Copenhagen has a consulted, I think it was PricewaterhouseCoopers or one of these like
massive accounting
firms, and they said you can save 1.9 million kroners if you
don't clean
sack
the street sweepers.
What? Yeah, and this is being considered heavily. I don't know what the plan is. If they're just gonna fire them and then
be like, all right,
yep, we're gonna live in litter now.
1980s New York, everybody.
Because I think it would be really like, it would be a sort of it would take a while before Danes sort of got into sort of not being pigs.
Yeah.
So, but maybe it's a good idea in terms of like sort of having a bit of respect for your city and sort of
definitely. But I remember, I think I've said it on the show before, but like I remember when I first moved to Denmark, walking down the street like near Norport in an evening and seeing a guy just littering, just like having like a wrapper or something, just throwing it on the floor.
Mm.
I was like flummoxed by it.
Yeah.
I'm like, flummoxed. What? Thank you. What? There's bins everywhere here.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it really.
Why would you do that?
Really fucking fucks with me when people do that. I quite often feel like yelling at people.
Mm.
But.
That's just you though.
That's just me. But yeah, so this is so. Noisy parks is an issue, and I can understand people who live. But it's also this thing, like if you live in the center of the city, this is part of it.
Yeah.
But it goes both ways. We should also have some goddamn respect for the people living in there and calm down. But the police are sort of striking, taking it a bit more seriously now. But yeah, I'm more concerned about this, the streets sweepers and the amount of litter that might come if they sack them.
Mm.
So yeah. Them the news.
Them the news.
No, I have an extra little news tidbit.
Okay.
Yeah. The Little Mermaid.
Oh yeah.
See, quite often.
Great movie.
great movie.
Made by a horrible corporation.
Yeah. Fuck you, Disney.
yeah, we did. We're not leaving that drop.
No. We're still upset.
We're still.
No, but the Little Mermaid, who was not for the first time, been vandalized.
Uh-huh.
But like last time, where it was, I think it was in support of the sort of
Hong
protest
Kong,
in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Yes, this time it's sort of in support of the sort of fight against racism, basically, because on the stone where the Little Mermaid is placed mm-hmm. so elegantly, somebody wrote racist fish.
Sorry?
Yeah, racist fish.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't quite
get it.
Get it?
Yeah.
And as far as I know, there's no
racist fish.
Yeah. I haven't spoken to any.
No,
racist
I've never
fish.
Met a racist fish.
I did have tuna last night.
Yeah.
apropos, tuna steaks. I didn't manage to get them tender in the middle. Or like
oh, you made them yourself?
Raw. Yeah, I fried tuna steaks.
Oh, and they're still raw in the middle.
Yeah, but they have to be raw in the middle, but they weren't. I overcooked
oh, you cooked,
them.
You overcooked
yeah,
them.
I overcooked them.
Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
I had sushi the first time in like years on Tuesday.
Okay. Was it racist?
No.
See,
I was.
It there
was
are non-racist barely, fish.
Yeah, like, are there any leads?
No leads. she did also have some stickers on her breasts.
Okay.
With
like covering her up.
Yeah, I don't think it was like to like.
Keep her decent.
Keep her decent. No. That it's a sticker that shows like a man's or like a cartoonish man's face, but like a kind of a almost Salvador Dali-ish kind of melting face kind of thing. Yeah. But yeah, no leads in it. But it's been used as a message.
Okay. For all you racist fish out there,
you're warned.
Stop it.
Stop. Just stop it. So that's currently written on the stone.
Still never seen it.
Still never seen
still
it.
Still never seen it. Yeah. And you know what? I think it's going to be like a thing now. I'm just going to not see it.
Proudly
never see the Little Mermaid.
Yeah. No. Good on you all.
Yeah. Thank you. I think I've passed it a few times on a boat. I divert my eyes.
I shall divert my gaze. Yeah. Well, Dim the news.
Yes. Thank you very much.
You're
thank
very
you very much.
Very and welcome.
Check out the Copenhagen Post for many an article.
Yes.
And interesting pieces. A very interesting thing about Wolt in there this week. Stay tuned because I think we shall be talking about something along those lines in the near future. But today.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things,
all the bad things that you see.
Let's talk about
the birds and the bees.
Yes.
Marius, tell me.
Well,
How did I learn?
Well,
fornication.
Love making, as my parents like to call it. In school, quite early on in public school, you get these sort of it's kind of like a children's book, and I think we're like it's between 8 and 10, like when we're about 8 and 10.
That's pretty. 8 is young.
8 is young, yeah. But there are these sort of books, and one of them is called "When Emma Became Emma." And it's sort of a children's book with illustrations, quite sort of cute illustrations, but also to some extent a little bit graphic illustrations of parents of Emma engaged in lovemaking. No, like there's no like you know penetration pictures or anything,
okay.
but they will show genitals and they will reference sort of that the man's penis
yes,
goes into the woman's vagina, and sperm is ejected at one point when pleasure reaches a climax, and these sperm cells will swim joyfully into the lady's egg and fertilize it, and that's where Emma grows.
This is.
So it's
this
very
is what it says, really.
It's very detailed.
Wow,
sort of,
it really
there's
is.
No sort of and then a bird just drops a
yeah,
baby.
Yeah.
No. it's very sort of Yeah, it's described in sort of without sort of trying to cover it up in any way.
Yeah.
And I remember reading these books as a kid, and yeah, like it was a, we laughed at it, but it wasn't like I think it does help us sort of normalize sex in a way, and it, it's not a, like a taboo thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, we get sort of actual sex ed. This is more sort of just like sort of to. That's kind
these
of
are the
a
facts, kind of
yeah,
a,
yeah. And then yeah. later on, you would get sort of yeah. Here's a condom, and mm-hmm. here's a banana. Try and roll it on, and mm. and.
How old were you when that kind of stuff was going?
Oh, I think probably 12, 13 or something like that.
Yeah, okay,
around right. that. Like pre-pubescent.
Is when Emma became Emma? Is that like a national one? So like, there's a book that's given to all children. The same book, or did your parents have to go pick one, or what's the story?
There are other ones. I don't think the one we read was when Emma became Emma. It was another one. I can't remember what it was called. But there are several of these books, and it's kind of it's used in the classroom, and it's typically the sort of the Danish teacher who will go through this.
Yeah. That's wow. Okay, that's because teachers in Ireland do not teach this.
No, I can't imagine
yeah. at all. There's, I'll go into it later on, but there's no 8 year old in national school. It was not talked about in Ireland.
No,
it was a lot later on, and it's up to the parents to talk to the kids about everything.
Yeah,
and neither of my parents did.
No,
they just my mother bought me a book. I said, read that.
Oh, what was that book?
Playboy. No. It was like a proper sex ed thing. And then my stepfather, my mother's partner, sat me down and was like, did you read the book? I was like, yep. He's like, tell me how it works. And I had to like, I was like, I get it. He's like, no, I need to talk to you about this. I'm like, okay. Do you think, or do you know, if gender is talked about in these books? Like gender identity?
No. As far as I remember, there's not. It's very much sort of the heterosexual relationship.
This is what sex is. This is the procreation thing.
And yeah, but I think it's more like the birds and the beasts. This is where you came from.
Yeah,
it's
okay,
not so
okay.
much sort of.
It's not about your sexuality put into it or anything like that.
No. But I'm sure that is an area that is lacking in sort of in this sex education. Obviously, it's been a while since I've had sex ed in school. So maybe there is a bit more focus on that now. I would hope and assume.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that's something that could be sort of put a lot more effort into as well. But mine was kind of a three step thing, because then I had first that one, kind of the books, and then one of 8 to 10, and then we had the sex ed, and then eventually I bought a porno mag with two other friends.
Was this for educational purposes or
sure yeah. Yeah. Curiosity,
absolutely. Yeah.
They were available back then in kiosks.
Yeah, okay.
Like, and the kiosk right next to our school had these graphic magazines.
Somebody once told me that porn was Denmark was the first place to legalize porn. So,
yep, 1969. So yeah, I remember me and two other mates going in and sort of being very, very embarrassed.
You?
Probably around that 13, like 13? Yeah, something like that.
And you bought a porno mag?
Yeah.
And they just sold it to you?
Yeah. No issue.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely no issue.
Actually, it was issue number 47.
Hey! How do you know? But then there was the issue of who keeps it. Yeah. And the other two were quite sure that their parents would kill them if they found a porno mag. And I was like, meh, I think my parents would be okay. So I brought it home.
Yeah.
And it was later discovered by my parents.
Okay.
And
you did a bad job hiding it?
Yeah. I
just put it up on the kitchen
counter? No, it was actually like I pretty much came in and I can't remember how this happened, but somehow I just came home and my parents were sort of in the kitchen and I came in with my school stuff and my bag where I had this porno mag in.
Yeah.
And somehow it just fell out. So like I never really got to try and hide it.
Young
was just
Marius,
like
what are you doing?
Yeah. So, but then later on, my dad sat me down like American Pie style.
Yeah.
And we went through this
No
magazine.
Way.
Yep. And he pinpointed things and
what?
Yep. Showed me. Yeah.
Wow.
His dirty tricks.
Jesus Christ.
And that was a bit much. That I remember.
All the barriers can now say.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to repeat that lesson.
Yeah.
That was. Yeah. He had good intentions and sort of. I think he, you know, his way of trying to normalize it and sort of now that I had this Porto mag, and I think to some extent there is this. That's important because porno is now even more readily available and
yeah.
free and like everywhere online.
Yeah.
So I think there's now more a need to sort of educate within porn and like differentiate what is sex and what is porn and sort of and I think that's very important actually.
So you generally think that Denmark overall has a good a grasp on how to educate young people about sex or a healthy approach to sexuality in
this? I think so. Yeah. I read an article about a British woman who lives here with a Danish husband coming from a different country like England, where I think they have a different approach to it. She was a little bit shocked to see her husband reading these books to her very very young daughter. You know, using the words as we in Danish it's called a peeing husband and a peeing wife. You know, for the genitals when we're small.
Okay. Yeah.
Tisse kone and tisse mand.
Yeah.
And she was sort of a bit like, oh, is this okay? And like felt uncomfortable with it. And I can understand how if you come from a different culture and you were not brought up in this way, like this can seem a bit sort of, is this okay?
Yeah.
But I think it is. I think it's sort of breaking down the taboo about sort of, about genitals and sex in general, but also sort of getting comfortable with your body.
Yeah. And like we've talked about this before, but like being around like saunas or winter bathing, things like this, and being around nudity.
Or pools where we have to shower.
Yeah, exactly. Like changing places and all that. And just being very comfortable with yourself, like being like, okay, this is normal. There ain't nothing weird about it.
Yeah.
Because I've spoken to end about learning to be okay being nude in Denmark.
Yeah.
I wasn't when I got here.
No.
Yeah. I was not okay with being nude and now it's just like, oh, yeah, of course, what difference does it make?
Mm. But it's such a cultural societal thing, I think.
Yeah, big time.
So and now they're talking about in Danish schools actually and I think not only in Danish schools, actually in some English schools as well, to start educating children in porn.
That's going to, yeah. It's just so fucking easy to get to now.
Yeah. And they're talking about, so in Denmark, yeah, actually it's from the third grade, you have, you read these books, like when Emma became Emma kind of thing. And then from 7th to 9th grade, it's sort of actual sex ed. But maybe within that, they will start introducing some kind of education around porn.
That's going to be tricky, man.
Yeah, yeah.
There's so much out there. So much. And a lot of it's fucked up.
Yeah.
Like a lot of it.
Most of it, I have to say.
Most of it's fucked up. And you're like...
And how would the... Because I'm like, it's never... It's always going to be a bit awkward.
Yeah.
Both for the teacher, like I can fully understand it must be a sort of, oh, I got to go do this with these children.
Yeah, I got to mention words that I really don't want to say in front of the children, you know?
Yeah, like, exactly. So I hope these teachers are educated in how to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can only imagine it being a challenge.
Yeah. And it's like, but it's a really important thing because like, porn was, when I was younger, porn was there, but it wasn't, the internet was still very, very, like, slow and
took
up and coming.
Took a day to download and
Yeah. I got caught trying to look at porn at home. Oh, so fucking embarrassing.
Oh, no.
It was like, Britney Spears naked, I think was like the search kind of a thing. And then my mother caught, like, I don't know, I didn't delete it or something like that.
Okay.
She fucking looked at the search history and I had to sit in the other room and she read them out and oh God, horrible. I don't think I saw anything though. I don't think there was not anything on it.
Okay.
But I do remember the first time I saw porn. And it was quite older. I was like maybe 15, mm-hmm. something like that. And I was on a trip to Holland for a sporting event. And Holland being Holland, porn's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's just everywhere. And it was just on one of the TVs in one of the rooms we're in the hotel. Mm-hmm. And I remember being like, slightly traumatized.
Yeah.
Like in it, but in a not bad way, right?
Yeah,
you're just
yeah.
Oh.
There
okay.
it is. There it is.
Okay, maybe not 40. Maybe a little. Maybe 14.
Because
mm. I was thinking I was about 15, 16 when I was sexually active. So, sorry, this is going in way too much detail. But my point
what
is.
What was your name?
No. My point is, it's like if a young person came across something quite, what's the word? Graphic, let's say.
Yeah.
It could really fuck you up.
Yeah.
Like, it could upset you quite badly. So,
for
like,
sure.
it's,
for sure, yeah.
it's something you really need to...
Jesus. I remember there was some fucked up shit in that porno mag that wasn't even, like, porn-related, really.
Yeah.
Like, they had some, like, the articles. Mm. And there was something about some fucking horrendous stuff about... Like, it was just a picture of... Like, I don't know what it was. Something Russia-related and with, like... Bodies
what?
Piled up and like
what?
Sewn up together. It was
horrendous. What were you looking at?
I don't. It was a fucking porno bag. I think they were trying to do some kind of a interesting journalism.
Like expose on.
Yeah. And then it also had like some kind of some images from some kind of festival event or competition with people hanging stuff from their
genitals. Right.
Like, I just remember one very graphic picture of a guy with an iron hanging from his knob. Yeah, and it was just like, what is this?
Goodness.
So speaking to that,
Lord.
Yeah, how, and I'm sure that has somehow fucked me up a little bit and traumatized me in some ways. Like, I think it's super important, especially now that it's even more readily accessible.
Yeah,
that
and like, and just, God, the more you talk about it, the more you look like, you know, like, kind of like negative images of women, you know, putting in a negative spin on sexuality with women, things like this for young men or women as well. Fucking hell. Oh, Jesus.
Mm.
You know what? There's, what's his name? Longford, Lord Longford, British lord.
Yeah.
And he campaigned against porn.
Okay.
And you know what? I'm fucking, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe he was right. Maybe he was right. But anyway, sorry.
Yeah,
just when you really think of what poor young people who don't understand might. Oh God.
Yeah, no,
oh,
I think
God, my future children. Oh Jesus, no. Children,
yeah. And it can be highly addictive, also. Like
yes,
many studies shows that the porn addiction is yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna say rampant, but a lot of people are.
It's out there. Yeah.
It's definitely out there. So yeah. Hopefully, by educating ourselves more on this, we can become better. Better at talking about sex.
There's a new I think a TV ad actually in New Zealand where
oh yeah, I saw that. Yeah, that
two porn
good.
Stars like
yeah.
just knocking the door
yeah.
naked and they're like, "Hi, your son Alex, he was just looking at us actually. On his laptop, but he can also look it on his phone and you know like and
yeah,
just,
yeah,
yeah. yeah, it's definitely something we need to.
But what was that ad was it for sort of
just being like trying to create awareness that children might come across porn and to educate them, I think.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't for some company or something, right?
No, it wasn't like AT&T or something like that, you know?
but no, that was quite a good advert, sort of. Yeah, it was like, I just want Timmy to know that, you know, we're not like that in the real world. And I was doing, like the male guy, really buff. Like, I was doing some pretty. Awful stuff, and I didn't ask for consent. You know, that's what we should do in the real world. So yeah, it was kind of good.
Yeah.
But yeah, them.
Them
the sex.
I remember. What happened? Like, school didn't talk about it at all.
No.
For me, right? But there's this sexual health center in Cork City, in the city I was closest to, and they. I think they might have had some government funding, but they went on their own steam to go to schools And they asked, can we do this thing? And like, you had to be allowed. Like, I think you had to ask your parents to go into it and all this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they split the boys and the girls. I think there was like a group where they just talked about sex. And then they split the boys and the girls. And that must have been, this is when you're like 13 or so as well. I just remember this really weird thing. And they were really, really nice. You could go in and get an STD checkup for free. And they gave out free condoms and everything. Which in Ireland is like... And it was, I remember going and getting condoms once, and it's like really hidden, like down this road. And but it's this horrible thing of shame, big thing of shame that came with it. I think I might have gone for an STD checkup as well there at some stage. And, but there was this real feeling of shame going down this alleyway. But you get in there and they're really, really nice. And I remember the dude in there, he was this gay dude, and he had like, he wore like leather like jacket, and like had, like he like looked like one of the dudes from YMCA, right? Like,
yeah.
But such a nice dude, and he was just like very open and calm, and he was like, "Hey, no, this is all normal, and feel safe here." And it was just such a nice thing. But I do remember the shame that came with all of it too.
Yeah.
And not from them, just from society in Ireland.
Yeah.
And I remember they had this like little they had this like setup for how to put on condoms, and they had like a mold of a penis, and it just really fucked my head up when she was like, "Right, I'm going to show you how to put on a condom," and he grabbed the tip, and then a teacher walked. It was like in a prefab outside, and a teacher walked by, and she hit it, and I just remember being like, "That's so fucked up."
Yeah.
We're getting educated. We should learn this, and you hid it from like our fucking Catholic school teacher. Just weird, man. Ireland is so unhealthy that way. So unhealthy.
Yeah.
That like you're doing a really important thing right now and you have to hide it. It's fucking Ireland, man. Anyway.
Yeah. Another aspect, as another article I found that which is probably also something we need to educate ourselves within, is the idea of sort of, which has been up in the media, but mostly for women, I think, where... they've sent a nudie pic to somebody or something like that, and it has been taken advantage of and blasted out on social media and stuff like that. So there also needs, and I think it has some ties to porn also. For sure, there's some kind of link between that sort of that has spurred this on to some extent, I think, both for women thinking that they maybe have to sort of portray themselves in this way and sort of live up to some weird ideal there, and guys having to think that this is a fun, normal way to do this. But now a recent article showed that there's been a massive increase in men being tricked into sort of by some woman, but it's not the way the articles explained it. Was it wasn't even like women behind this, it was men behind this, but they made some kind of clever computer program where they could, I don't know if it's like a, they recorded some kind of you know, because there are these videos where you can call in and you can pay, and some woman will talk dirty to you and undress in front of you or something like that. I don't know, they figured out some way to use old videos of that,
okay,
and then they contacted like men on social media, like flirted with them like they were a woman, gotten them to go on Skype or something like that, and then set up this kind of session, and then the men start undressing because they're encouraged to do this, start masturbating, and then a guy pops up and says, "We recorded all of this. Here's, please send us some money." Probably without the please. Send us some goddamn money, and sort of blackmailing, extorting these men.
And this is in Denmark?
Yeah, it's been happening for a couple of years, but they've seen an increase in it, and they have no way to track like and find these people, because it's, you know, over the online, it's like very, very tricky to find the perpetrators. In other countries, it caused like men to commit suicide from embarrassment of this, because it's being sort of, they send pictures of, here are all your Facebook friends, here are your family, like we know stuff about you, so we know who to send it to and how to sort of make this public.
What a horrible situation.
Yeah. Like in that sense, I'm really happy I grew up in the time I grew up in, sort of.
That's not really.
Yeah, that was never.
That's not there.
An issue, and even with the amount of porn available, like I think I'd prefer that. I think it was healthier.
Yeah.
So be a
What was that? What was the... So, ba-ba-ba-boo.
No, so a fair warning to any man, woman out there, be very sort of careful when you share any kind of personal pictures online.
Yeah.
Of course. But probably there needs to be some education around that as well.
Okay. And there's an increase in this. So if you are going to partake,
yeah,
be fucking sure.
Yeah.
Be sure you know who you're talking to.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Well...
Wow, that was sex.
That's CIC sex ed.
CIC sex ed. Yeah. I could do a cheesy segue to hot tips, but I'm not. I'm just going to ask you to say...
Hot tips!
Thank you very much, Owen. Have you you ever had a gong bath, Owen?
Have I ever had a gong bath? No.
No. this is something I stumbled across.
You certainly did.
While looking for events, and it was very much the word gong bath.
Yeah, that catches catches it right.
Gong and not dong. So gong bath. It has nothing to do with porn. This is to get rid of stress.
Strep.
Strep. No, because. It's been a stressful period, I think, for many people. And if you're looking to de-stress, there is this event called Get Rid of Stress. Stress. Wow. I don't want to put a V on it. Stress with Gong Bath. It's on Tuesday, the 7th of July, from 7:45 to 9:30. I'll put a link up to it so you can read a bit more. But here's the sort of calm your mind, relax, and start your day in a different way. All the answers are within you. You only need to calm your mind and talk to your inner self. And this lady called Aiste Wienkunst is a psychologist and a gong master and coach who delivers workshops and lectures in mindfulness, teamwork, emotion, stress, and conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And together with sounds of gongs, singing bowls, kalimba, koshi bells, and other instruments, her transformative sound sends the mind and body to realms of deep restoration.
So you're not getting wet?
No.
Okay, you're just bathing in the sound of gongs.
Bathing in sound of gongs.
Right, okay.
Singing bowls, kalimbas, koshi bells.
I had a very distinct image of being in a bath with a gong.
No.
That is exactly what I thought.
But apparently, as the brain moves in alpha and or theta states, the sounds will trigger...
Sorry, what was the second one there?
Theta state.
Right, yeah.
T-H-E-T-A.
Theta.
Theta states. Yeah. The sound will trigger a sympathetic nervous system response that lowers blood pressure, slows the heart rate, and relieves stress. So if you want to do a gong bath,
next Tuesday
17th 7th. Yeah,
cool. Sounds very interesting.
Yes,
it's cool.
Now, Owen,
yeah,
here's another one for you.
Oh,
have you ever tried hurling?
Have I ever tried hurling? Yes, I actually have.
Yes,
yeah. I was on a hurling team for a while.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah,
cool. Because Hygge hurling returns.
Hygge hurling.
You heard of this?
What is this? No.
No, in Philipphagen, Sunday, July 5th, from 2 to 5 p.m., the fastest game on grass and
fastest ancient sport. Yes, it is.
Gaelic-Irish origin.
Fionn McCool.
Yes?
Yep.
And I've never played it, but though, as far as I understand, it's kind of a mixture of hockey, baseball, and lacrosse. Like, you get an axe-shaped stick and a ball, and you can pretty much do whatever the fuck you want.
Sure. The baseball is a bit...
But you can whack it,
you're absolutely
right?
Fucking belting it. Yeah.
Okay.
With as much strength as you can.
Yeah.
It hurts to be hit by it.
Yeah, okay.
Because the slitter is... Slitter is the ball.
Yeah.
It's what you call the ball. It's hard. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You're gonna have a dent in you when you get hit by that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well. Okay.
But the whole point is not to get hit by it. You're meant to catch it with the hurley and yeah. It's a great sport. Really, really fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they advise you to bring beer so you can stay hydrated. But as far as I understand, it's free, and I'm guessing they have equipment. And it's how many on each side?
11.
11 or something? Yeah, okay. But they have substitutes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So yeah. Check that out, Sunday, July 5th, 2 to 5 p.m. in Philipphagen, for a bit of hurling.
That sounds... Who's organizing it? I probably know them.
Probably, yeah.
Sorry, 15. It's 15. It's 15, not 11.
15.
Yeah.
On each side.
Okay. 11 is something else.
And then, yeah, there's you can score a goal by getting it in a net, so that there is a goal.
Yeah.
A goalkeeper.
Yeah.
That sounds awful, being that goalkeeper.
Yeah, but their hurley's bigger than the rest of them.
Okay.
Like you won't notice it, but their hurley's bigger than the other hurleys.
Okay, but there's no sort of, they don't wear helmets or anything.
You wear helmets.
You wear a helmet.
I think it's mandatory now. Some people would, some people wouldn't.
Okay.
And
a bit like hockey in the old days.
Yeah, and they, like, some people wear helmets with the visor, the like kind of metal guard.
Yeah.
And lots of people don't.
Yeah.
It's just they're brazen. So you got the goal, and then there's a post, like two, there's like posts above it,
yeah,
like on the side of what would be like a soccer goal. Then it extends higher.
So a bit like rugby kind of?
Yeah, exactly. Those poles, right? And then if you get over that, it's a point.
Yeah, okay.
So a goal is 3 points and a point is a point. So it's like 3 goals, 4 points, and then whatever. You add up the full score afterwards.
Okay. Cool. I might check it out.
Yeah,
that's
cool.
Finally, jazz. You know, there's normally a jazz festival.
Jazz.
But
jazz.
Jazz. Jazz. due to coronavirus, of course, the jazz festival was cancelled. But fear not.
Ah.
Yes, because summer jazz goes online today.
Today.
3rd of July to the 11th. All concerts will be recorded live directly at the sort of intended venue.
Yeah.
And this is the first festival to go online, and they're collaborating with B&O, Bang & Olufsen, to ensure sort of top quality sound.
Nice.
Yes. You can buy tickets on Ticketmaster or find their website, Summer Jazz 2020. And there's some pretty cool cool stuff coming up. Let me just find an article so I can tell you what
that cool stuff is.
That cool stuff was. There was a Dexter Gordon tribute. I think I've removed the link now. I don't have it. But there was some cool stuff, and it was like you can get you can buy access for something like under 300 kroners to all, I think it was 17 concerts happening.
So that's good.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Because the weather is also going to become a bit shit the next week. So,
Really? Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
As far as I know, there's some cold front coming from Scotland. Fuckers. why would they say that?
What do you got against the Scots? Every time. I mean.
Every time. So if you're stuck inside and you're missing some live music, check out Summer Jazz 2020.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, yeah. Dem da ha 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 tips.
Somebody was listening to last week's episode. And in our hot tips, we mentioned a beer release at Slowburn Brewery.
Yeah.
And they were going to give release their beers, and they were going to do kiwi pies.
Yes, the fruit.
And so began the conversation of what is a kiwi pie. We thought I assumed it was a pie with kiwi in it.
The bird the fruit.
The fruit.
Yes.
And then we were like, but then it said savory.
Yes.
So we're like,
aha.
Uh-huh. Aha, it's the bird. It's the tiny endangered bird from New Zealand pie. But somebody, a listener, pointed out to me that kiwi pie is just pies from New Zealand.
That makes a lot of sense.
That makes way more sense.
Yes.
I was like, you Maris, you were joking in that conversation, right? And I'm like,
Yeah,
sure, sure. We're funny.
We're funny. Funny.
Yes. But no, so kiwi pie is just pie.
Yeah, okay.
All sorts of
New
pie.
Zealand.
Yeah. Hmm. That is the show. Thank you very much for listening. Check out our Facebook page.
Yeah. I'll put up some hot tips.
Check out Spotify.
Check it out.
Yep.
And while they're in there, check out our podcast.
Check out our podcast on Spotify. Check out SoundCloud.
Yep.
Check out the Copenhagen Post.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't clicked on the website already.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's covered all the bases.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. Have a good weekend.
Bye.
Bye.